Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Have you seen it yet? Murdaugh, Death in the Family on Hulu, the big dramatized dive into murder, money, and the fall of a Southern dynasty. I'm curious to get your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, so please give me your thoughts. My initial thoughts as we go into this, just like literally on the surface, because this is literally a surface observation. The title poster back here, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see it. When I first saw this, and I can't unsee this now, my observation, they look like corpses. They do. The makeup is so heavy and so shitty. But I think that was intentional. I'm not trying to insult the filmmakers, because that's not my intention. I feel like this is kind of how the dramatization might have been intended. But it makes it even more macabre than already. I mean, seriously, when you look at this, I mean, Murdaugh looks dead, and obviously he's the one that's alive, but they have a look about them in the promo pieces, and I don't know if it's because these are AI'd. I don't know if they are AI'd or if they're just the way they filtered the shots or the makeup, but they look like corpses. If that's your goal, bravo. It makes it creepy. It makes it very creepy. So how creepy is the actual dramatized series on Hulu itself? Well, again, I'm going to let you guys give me your thoughts in the comment section. We'll go over kind of what we've understood now thus far, fact versus fiction. 8 episodes, big cast, built an audience already, sick to death, the headlines, but still hooked on the wreckage. Because if the truth hadn't been so surreal, so tangled in privilege and corruption and murder, none of this would be on your screen in the first place. But the big question is, how close does the series get to the real story? Not the headlines, not the gloss, the actual horror show that unfolded behind the doors of Alec Murdaugh's home and his law offices bearing his name. Does the show tell the truth? Or is it dressed up Southern crime fantasy? Spoiler, it's a little of both. And the truth is uglier than what even Hulu could film, quite honestly. This is one of those stories where I think we even said this like while the trial was going on. If you tried to script this, people will go, it's a bit much. Tone it back. We open the same place the series does, that 911 call. June 7th, 2021, Alec Murdaugh is on the phone telling dispatchers that his wife Maggie and his son Paul have been shot near the kennels of their Moselle property in Colleton County, South Carolina. He sounds panicked, desperate. The series captures it well. I mean, really, he does. He does hit it well. It had to, because it's a turning point. That's the moment everything comes crashing down. And for the first time, the public gets a look behind the facade of one of the most powerful families in the Lowcountry. But in real life, that moment wasn't just a family tragedy. It was the end of a long con. The final act in a decades-long performance where Alec Murdaugh wasn't just a husband or a father or a lawyer. He was an illusion, an operator. And he's finally out of rope. The Hulu series wants you to understand the emotional stakes. It puts Maggie's fear and Paul's recklessness on display. It paints a picture of a family unraveling. But to truly get the scale of the story, you have to understand that the murders weren't the beginning. They were the cover-up. Let's back up. Alec Murdaugh had been stealing for years. Not pocket change, not skimming billable hours. Millions! From his own law firm, from clients who trusted him with settlements meant to keep them afloat after catastrophic injuries or the loss of a loved one. If you want to know more about that, look at the Russell Lafitte trial, which literally just wrapped up. There's another piece on that that's dropping right around the same time this one is, that goes into the details of that, the man, the financial man behind the murder. That's a story unto itself. So if you're just kind of, I finally want to dig into this Murdaugh thing. There's a lot of pieces to fully grasp it. So trust me on that. You want to get the other angle on it. So this is some subtle bookkeeping shuffle. He created fake bank accounts, fake signatures, diverted checks into accounts with names that looked legitimate but weren't, and all with the help of Russell Lafitte of Palmetto State Bank. He took money from a man left paralyzed after a crash, from children who lost a parent, from his own housekeeper's sons after she died on his property. In a death that still remains a little bit sus. And no one said a word. Not for years. Because in that part of South Carolina, the Murdaugh name still meant protection. So when the Hulu series touches on his financial crimes, it's not just a subplot. It's the engine behind the entire case. In the real world, prosecutors laid it out clearly. Alex killed Maggie and Paul to buy himself time, to draw attention away from his financial exposure, to derail the lawsuits, delay the audits, create chaos so no one would notice the books didn't balance. And chaos he created. Let's talk about Gloria Satterfield. She wasn't just the help. She was a fixture in the Murdaugh home. And in 2018, she died after an alleged fall at the Moselle house. The exact circumstances, I'm sorry, I'm going through a cold and allergies, and my dictation is not the greatest today. The exact circumstances, still a little murky. But here's what is documented. Alec told her sons he was going to help them file a wrongful death claim, get the insurance money they deserved. He encouraged them to sue him. That sounds crazy. It's not. It happens a lot. If you know the insurance company is going to be good for it, well, and you truly want what's right for these people who may be hesitant to sue you because there is or had been a relatively positive relationship there between mom, who's now dead, who died on your staircase, and the kids. On the surface, to anyone on the outside, who these kids, adult kids, may say, Alex said I should do this to get the money. Well, look at him. Look at him being the big man. He wants to help you. It looks lovely on the surface. Help you get the money you are entitled to from this accident claim. We're going to get you. We're going to do everything we can. Can't bring mom back, but we're going to financially get you taken care of so that can be one less thing you have to worry about. That money, it never came. Because Alec took it. He worked with attorneys to file the claim, settled it for over $4 million, and pocketed it. Lied about it. Hid it. And then left Gloria's sons with nothing. Outside investigations forced it all back into the light. And finally, problem there. Now, the series includes Gloria. Gloria gives her story a beat, but what it can't capture is the sheer cruelty of it. This wasn't just a financial crime. This was a man turning someone's death into a personal payday. And he did it without blinking. And these were people he knew, supposedly loved, cared about. Then we get to the boat crash. February 24th of 2019. Paul Murdaugh, drunk, allegedly piloting the family's boat with friends aboard, slams into a bridge piling near Paris Island. Mallory Beach is only 19. Thrown from the boat, her body is found days later. Paul's charged with felony boating under the influence, and that case becomes a ticking time bomb for Alex, one that threatens to expose everything. Why? Because a lawsuit tied to Mallory's death was targeting Alex's finances, his assets, his insurance. And once discovery started, once the lawyers began asking questions, that's when the truth about the money started to slip out. So when the series treats the boat crash as a major turning point, it's not exaggerating. That crash was the beginning of the end. Paul's legal trouble wasn't just a PR nightmare. It was a direct threat to Alex's criminal empire. And here's where it gets darker. Because the night Maggie and Paul were murdered, Maggie had reportedly been lured to Moselle under false pretenses. She didn't want to go. Alex's father was dying, and Alec told her to come see him. But it was a setup. Prosecutors said it was all part of the plan. Isolate her. Get her to the property. Eliminate the two people who threatened Alec's future. And they didn't just die. They were executed. Paul shot in the chest and head with a shotgun. Maggie just yards away, gunned down with a rifle. Two weapons, two separate killings, premeditated, intentional. What does Alex do next? He lies. Tells investigators he was never at the kennels that night. And he didn't hear the shots. And then he was visiting his mother. But then they find the video. A cell phone video taken by Paul minutes before the murders. He's filming a dog in the background. Alex's voice, clear as day, right there. In the scene, right before. Right before the trigger's pulled, basically. That video blew the entire case wide open. The Hulu series gets that part right. Shows the unraveling, the cell phone data, the exposure. But again, the real life weight of that moment is so much heavier because it's not just a contradiction. It's proof that Alec was willing to look his son in the eye and kill him anyway. The murder trial was swift. 6 weeks of testimony, dozens of witnesses, and a jury that did not hesitate. Less than 3 hours of deliberation, guilty in all counts, 2 consecutive life sentences, no possibility of parole. And still, Alec kept lying, kept insisting he didn't do it, kept playing the same games he always had, manipulating, redirecting, feigning innocence, even as the mountain of evidence crushed him. And if the story stopped there, you might just say justice was done. But it did. Because after the murder trial, more charges kept coming. Federal indictments, state-level guilty pleas, sentences for fraud, conspiracy, bank fraud, wire fraud. He pled guilty to 22 counts in federal court, got 40 years for that alone. Add to that the 27 years he got from the state for financial crimes. And remember, those are in addition to the life sentences. So no, this wasn't just a man who snapped. This was a man who built a life on exploitation, on theft on the assumption that the system would always protect him. For a long time, it did. Let's talk about that, because the Hulu series tries to show you the power the Murdaugh name carried. But it's hard to grasp unless you've seen it up close. This was a family that ran the local solicitor's office for nearly a century. They were the law. The prosecutors, the insiders, judges, lawyers, law enforcement, all connected. And that created a bubble where Alex could do almost anything. He could forge signatures on insurance documents, settle cases, and skim off the top, funnel money through accounts no one questioned. And every time someone got close, he had an answer, a delay, a distraction. And it worked until it didn't. The downfall came not because the system caught him. It came because he couldn't outrun the consequences anymore. Because when people started dying, the walls finally started closing in. And maybe the darkest part, he thought he could still get away with it. Even after the murders, even after the staged roadside shooting. Yes, that happened too. Just months after killing his wife and son, Alex tried to fake his own murder, called 911, claimed he was shot while changing a tire, said it was a random act of violence. In reality, it was a failed suicide for hire. He wanted his surviving son, Buster, to get the life insurance payout, except it backfired, literally. The shooter, Curtis Eddie Smith, botched the job. Alex lived, and the lie unraveled again. And here's the part the Hulu series barely touches, the ripple effect. The people left behind, the victims who never saw their settlements, the law firm partners who turned a blind eye, the investigators who overlooked red flags, the judges and attorneys who gave Alec the benefit of the doubt over and over again. This wasn't just one bad man. This was a culture of silence, of deference, of privilege, so deeply rooted that it took murder to finally break through. So does Murdaugh death in the family get it right? Mostly. It hits the big beats. The murders, the fraud, the trial. It shows you a man crumbling under pressure, but it can't show you everything. Can't show you the systematic rot, the complicity, the arrogance, the lives destroyed along the way. Maybe it's not supposed to. Maybe it's just meant to be entertainment. But if you're watching this show and thinking you've seen the whole picture, you haven't. You've seen the headlines. What you haven't seen is the fallout, the clients still trying to rebuild, the families left behind, the names on the checks that bounced, the legacy of a man who thought he could do anything and almost did. So watch the show. It's interesting. But when it's over, remember, the credits might roll, but the story is not finished. Because the damage this man did, it is still echoing. And justice, real justice, doesn't end with a verdict. It ends when we stop letting people like Alec Murdaugh get this far in the first place. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You will find us there. You make that same search wherever you're getting podcasts as well. And be sure to press subscribe. We do greatly appreciate you following and letting us know your thoughts and hitting subscribe. I'm Tony Bruschi. I'm going to go take some cold medicine. We'll talk again. Real.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.